Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would be made ready to receive your message this morning, that the word spoken here would land upon good soil, that we would be planting good seed in our lives this morning, and that we would see a harvest produced from that, Lord. And we'd be so attentive to what your Holy Spirit is speaking. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I've forgotten announcements. It just dawned on me seeing all those kids head back. We are going to do something for Easter. We hadn't got all the details worked out yet, but I think we have someone wanting to make everybody waffles. And so we might have a waffle breakfast and have an Easter egg hunt for the kids and all that. And so when we do that, like I said, I think I said last week, if you guys are starting to see some eggs and candy and stuff like that, if you want to start bringing them here and we'll stuff them, because we usually have, you know, 20 or so kids show up for Easter egg hunt. We'll be doing something like that and have a breakfast and a fellowship that morning. And so let me pause for station identification so Mitzi can bleep that out. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to begin in verse 14. Most of the whole service is going to be in 2 Timothy. And so if you just want to open up your Bibles there, and we'll be focusing in chapter 2, chapter 3, and jumping around a little bit. But 2 Timothy 2, 14 and 15 says, "Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." As I was thinking about these words here, and it says, do your best. Do your best. Is there anything in your life that you do your best in? Do you do your best at work? Do you do your best at making money? Do you do your best to be a good mom or dad or grandparent? What do you do your best at? You know, when you were in school and you played sports and you practiced and practiced and practiced. Why? Because you wanted to do your best for competition. And as I was thinking about this in the context of living for our Lord, it says to do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. And do we really have that mentality in our life that, Lord, I love you so much and I just want to do my very best for you each and every day. I want to show how much I love you, God, by the life I live. I want to do my best. There's times that I've mowed the yard and I've been in a hurry and I didn't do my best. There's other times that when I'm mowing my yard, man, I got my weed eater, I got my little electric leaf blower, there's even been times that I tried, I'm not even good at it, but have you ever seen those real fancy houses that they mow in one direction and then they mow in another direction? I remember Darlene's son Sheldon, one time I went by his house walking and he was mowing like that. And he said, "I just love it when my lawn looks that way." And he mowed in this direction and then mowed in that direction. And it takes longer, but it really is. It makes your yard look really pretty, you know. Because I wanted to do my best. But there's other times that I mow my yard and I'm just like blowing the leaves the other direction. And if I get done and I missed a spot over here and missed a spot over there, oh, nobody's even going to see it but me. And it's just kind of halfway doing it. And I think sometimes many of us in our walk with God kind of, nobody's really going to see that patch of grass. Nobody's really going to see my yard. We don't got company coming. I don't live in town. Nobody's going to even pay attention. And we don't really do our best. But the scripture here says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And when you think about that and being ashamed and have you ever been like caught off guard by your boss when you were sitting there talking? You sitting there visiting and all at once the boss walks up and you're like, "Oops, I should have been working. I should have been doing something. I remember when I was in school getting caught by teachers and the principal one time for doing what I shouldn't have been doing. We won't go into much more detail than that, but I was caught red-handed and I was in trouble. And I was so ashamed, and I remember taking a note home to my parents, and I was so ashamed, oh man, I don't want to get that spanking that's coming. But I was wrong. Do we live our lives in a way that we're doing our best to present ourselves as a workman approved to God who doesn't need to be ashamed if the Lord's right here with us this morning? Because He is. He's looking at our life. A workman approved, not ashamed, and who handles the word of truth. I want you to think about that in handling the word of truth. Do we handle the word of God correctly? Are we applying it to our lives? Do we take what it says and then act upon it and then live it out and then do it? In James 1:22 it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. That we're to hear this word, we're to apply it to our life, and do what it says. And I had the thought about stamps and letters. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I love now that I don't even really have to mail bills anymore. I do it all from my phone, and I pay my bills online, so I hardly even buy stamps anymore. But every once in a while, I've got a bill or I've got something, and I need a stamp. And we just ran out not too long ago, but we had these stamps sitting on our counter forever. We were never using them. They were just sitting there, collecting dust. Were those stamps doing any good at all? No. They weren't doing any good. And I remember years ago, and it was a long, long time ago, and I'm pretty sure I did this. I don't want to lie to you guys, but I'm pretty sure I did this. I think one time I went to mail a bill, and I forgot to put the stamp on and dropped it in the mailbox. And within a couple of days, it was back at my house, and it seems like it had a red stamp or something on it where they had rejected it because it didn't have the stamp. I wasn't paying for it, but it came back, thankfully. I had my return address on it. It's not till you apply that little bitty stamp to the corner of that envelope that something happens. That letter then can move, and it's amazing. It can move from here to Michigan, to New York, to California. But it has to be, that stamp has to be applied to that letter in order for it to begin to work. Y'all, if we don't apply the Word of God to our life, what are we really doing here? I mean, the fellowship is great. What we can do as a body of believers is great and fantastic. I love all y'all. I like hanging out with you. But we're not a country club. We're not here just because I tell a good joke once in a while, because I don't. They're horrible. We should be here to learn God's Word, pray. When we hear God's Word, that it would stick with us, because I know if you guys are like me, and I think all of us are pretty much alike, when we hit that back door, maybe 10% of what you heard sticks with you, maybe 20%. And you forget what I just preached. You forget what you just read. Unless your heart is really prepared and you're really ready to receive it. And what amazes me is when you're really ready to receive it and God speaks to you, and then it sticks, and when you go out of here, you begin to apply it to your life. Just like that stamp on there, you begin to apply it to that life. And here, I don't know, it was probably 2 months ago, I had a pickup for Amazon. I hate Amazon pickups. It was at this house. It was a farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere. And I pull up, and it was a farm implement that I was picking up. I said, you got paperwork? No. I said, well, I can't pick it up without paperwork. Well, we got an email. And she said, they put this tag on here that says where it's going to, but that's it. It's like, well, I got to know what way you're shipping it. Is it collect? Is it prepaid? Is it third party? I gotta know, is it priority? Is it economy? It's not just come grab this and let's go. There's just too much information. But I noticed on this label there was a barcode. said where it was going to and a barcode. And I told the lady, I said, well, let me see something here. I said, I've never done this before, but I'm going to try it. And I got a little handheld computer and I scanned that barcode. And you know what? All the information I needed popped up. Where it was going, how it was going, who it was going. Everything popped up from these squiggly little lines there. All this information popped up and I'm like, that's amazing. I'm sitting there going, that is really cool. I've not seen that, you know. So I was thinking about that along with the stamps and everything. That barcode meant nothing to me. It was squiggly lines. Until I truly accessed it. And then it gave me all the information I needed to get that shipment moving. Church, for some people, they're looking at this Bible as squiggly lines. They're saying, I don't get anything out of that. It doesn't even make sense when I read it. Y'all ever read something and it doesn't make sense? I have. Sometimes I read it and I'm like, huh. I don't understand. Other times I've read something and I've read it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times and all at once it'll mean something. It's like, wow, I never seen that before. How could I not see that before? Because I just read it. But see, some of us are looking at this Bible as those barcodes and we're saying it does no good. But what we need to do is we need to get into it. Maybe not necessarily scan it. We need to begin into it and apply it to our life. And then all at once, things will begin to come clear. Does that make sense? Things will begin to make sense. We'll even begin to know where we're heading. And you know what else it tells us? What to expect in life. It begins to show us that we're going to go through difficulties. We're going to suffer. But you know what? We're going to have good times too. And ultimately, there's going to be a reward waiting for us. And we get to meet Jesus face to face someday. But unless we begin to study this Word and understand and look at it and say, am I doing my best to present myself to God and applying this Word to my life? 2 Timothy 2:22. 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness. Do we apply that to our life? Are we fleeing the evil and pursuing righteousness? See, this is really where the rubber meets the road in everyday life. And I still have these things in my life sometimes that I just gotta get away from it. That I gotta stop. That I really have to think and say, I don't need that in my life. I need to get rid of that. I need to flee that. I need to run away. I need to take off. If any of you have ever been, chased by an animal that's growling at you, I have. And I'm fleeing. I'm running. I'm in a hurry. Man, that thing's about to bite me. That thing's about to get hold of me. And I'm running and trying to get away from it. And Satan is out to destroy us. He's more dangerous than a dog or a snake or a skunk. But some of us will run faster from a skunk than we do from the enemy that's trying to destroy our soul. He says, flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness. And when I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, if we would really apply this Word to our life and pursue righteousness, would our lives change? Or are you already doing that? If you made an active part of your life saying, you know what? I'm going to pursue righteousness. I'm going to pursue you, Lord, with all my heart. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. See, doing this not in a way that you're trying to manipulate people, you're trying to see what you can get out of them, or even manipulate God, but out of a pure heart because we love God so much that we want to pursue this righteousness, this faith, this love, this peace. It says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know that they produce quarrels. That's kind of a repeat of what we read earlier. And the Lord's servants must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone. If you forgot, if you don't hear anything, Apply this to your life. When you walk out those doors, apply that to your life. I need to begin to be kind to everyone. Able to teach. Not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. See, we need to apply this word to our life because Satan has taken captive so many. And they're not doing the will of the Father anymore, but they're doing the will of Satan. And he's so subtle in the way that he does it. And just that snide remark, and just that mean comment, and just that hateful look, and just, I'm not saying hi to them, or I'm going to comment there. And Satan is so good at manipulating us into being mean, into being ugly, and then no longer are we pursuing righteousness. And what's the problem is we're not applying this word to our life. We heard that good sermon, we heard that good radio broadcast, and we say, wow, that guy made me laugh, or wow, that was great. But are we taking it to our everyday life and applying it and truly pursuing righteousness and truly gently correcting people to the knowledge of truth? But if we don't have the knowledge, how can we correct anybody else? How can we point others in that direction? The devil is always trying to entrap us. But when we apply the light of God's Word to our life, it helps us to see more clearly. See, he's trying to entrap us, but when we flee and we shine the light of God's Word upon our life, it helps us to see more clearly. And so, why do we need to leave, or why do we need all this right now? What's really the point? Why do we need this? And can I tell you that many times people want to wait till they're in the middle of the storm to open up their Bible. They want to wait till they're in a crisis to begin to pray. But we need it before, so that when you're in that storm, you know a sailor don't go out in the middle of the seas and begin to sail without any instruction, without any knowledge. If he does, he's a fool. You guys wouldn't put me in an airplane and send me up and say, there you go, Pete. No, you take time and you learn. If you sent me up in an airplane right now, I wouldn't even make it off the runway. I'd probably crash at the end. You know, because I've not learned, I've not been trained. But you wait till you're in that critical moment and you will fail. Unless you have this word in your life, in your heart, and you've already been applying it. Just like when you learn to drive. How many of y'all have ever studied that manual? And you knew, and you finally passed the test. But did that make you a good driver? No. It's not till you get behind the wheel and you apply it. You wouldn't take a 14-year-old kid that's never drove a day in his life but just passed his written test and put him on the freeway. He'd wreck. It'd be terrible. But see, that's many people, I believe, with the Word of God. They get in the middle of the freeway, they get in the middle of the airplane, they get in the middle of the storm, and then all once they're opening and scrambling, going, what do I do? I've failed. I'm in, my life's a mess. What do I do? Now, God's grace, God's mercy, He can see you through that, but can I tell you something? When you know that you know that you know God's there with you and you know the instructions, it makes everything so much better and so different. If we apply the Word before we get in the storms, before the temptation hits us. And as I was thinking about all this, and you can just go to the next chapter here and think, why do we need this? Why, Peter, are you telling me this? My life's so good. Chapter 3, verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. God's warning us. There's going to be terrible times in the last days. Are we living in the last days? I don't know. But I know one thing, today we're a lot closer than we was yesterday. This Sunday we're a lot closer than we was last Sunday. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. So he's warning us that there's going to be terrible times. So should we be prepared? Should we be ready? People will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boastful. Proud. abusive, disobedient to their parents. Right there, that describes America. You don't even have to go any further than that. That describes what we are living in. Ungrateful. You know, it's amazing to me how spoiled we all are that we're not even thankful for what we have in our lives anymore. We've become such an ungrateful people, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. Self-control gets me a lot, y'all. The Lord's always, it feels like, speaking to me about my self-control with what I eat, with work, with just, I need help. Brutal, not lovers of the good. Treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. You look at, there's so much of this that describes where we're living right now. You say lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Oh, that's not me. The pleasure of sleeping in rather than getting up and coming to church. The pleasures of going to some kind of activity, the movies, the ball games, the instead of reading your Bible, instead of coming to church. We are so in love with pleasure in this country. And we'd rather live in our indulgence in our pleasures than love God. I remember when I was a little boy and going to this little country church down the road. And the pews were wood. And they weren't comfortable. They weren't comfortable at all. Man, we got comfortable pews. We got heat sometimes. We got air sometimes. There it goes. It just kicked on. Man, God's good to us. But do we love God and give sacrifice to God and pursue righteousness? Verse 6 says, they are the kind that who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are looking down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just like Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind who are as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know about all my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, suffering. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecution I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So here the Bible's telling us in the last days this is going to happen. You can look at Paul's life and he's saying, you know what kind of life I live. I was faithful. I was patient. I was full of love. I endured. But I also suffered. And if you want to live for Jesus, you're going to suffer. So we need to be prepared. We need to apply this word to our life. I'm going to read verse 12 again. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Applying God's Word will make you thoroughly equipped. God's Word is useful for teaching. That's what you're doing today, learning, rebuking and correcting. And so you can point to the Scripture to show people you're wrong. And they say, well, this is my truth. Well, I don't care what your truth is. The Word of God is the truth. It's not our feelings. It's not our emotions. It's not, I feel like this one day and I feel like that the next. No, there is a truth and it's the Word of God. And we need the Word of God applied to our life so that we know the truth. And training in righteousness. We began with pursuing righteousness. Are you pursuing righteousness? If you're pursuing righteousness, then you're pursuing God's Word, because that's what it says. And it's not just the knowledge, but it's applying it to your life so that you're thoroughly equipped for every good work. James 2:18 says, but someone will say to you, I have faith. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. We can't just sit back and go, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and there's no evidence in our life. That's not really what the Word is about. I shared with the men Wednesday night, but I heard a testimony this week of this lady that grew up with an abusive home. Her dad would come in drunk, her mom and dad would fight, and my understanding of the testimony, and I'm not sure if I understood it correctly, but the dad would beat up the mom, and she lived in this home, but she said, you know what, every Sunday we went to church. She said, we didn't miss church. And she had a little neighbor girl that became her friend, and she went to the neighbor's house, and she said that girl, her mom and dad would hold hands. Her mom and dad would kiss each other. Her mom would sing little Christian songs to us. She said they went to church too. She said, but there was such a difference between the two homes. I could see it as a little child. I could see something ain't right. My daddy comes home drunk and beats my mom, and this daddy comes home and kisses his wife and loves her. There's something not right here. And the girl ended up that family that was true Christians led that little girl to the Lord, and within a few years her mom came to know the Lord, and then it took several more years after that the dad came to know the Lord, but he went to church. You ever have someone say, you go to church? A lot of people go to church. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Are you living it? Are you living it out? John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. I didn't want to go too far in there, but Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to obey what I command. He says at the end, people will stand before Him and say, Father, did we not do this and did we not do that in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not heal in your name? And He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because they didn't apply the Word of God to their life and live it out. Proverbs 19:8, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who cherishes understanding prospers. Do you love wisdom? True wisdom is only found in the Word of God. You love hearing the Word of God and applying it to your life. James 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. So here's where I'm at, and we're going to end. God, I feel like, has been blessing us. Now, I want you guys to fully understand what I'm going to say here. I cannot do this on my own. It is only Jesus. It's only the Holy Spirit that I stand up here and preach to you. It is not Pete Rose. Eric Rose, to be correct. It's not me. It is not me. I am so dependent upon my Lord to preach up here. But I feel like the last several weeks, God has been preaching pretty good to all of us. That's not me. He's been preaching to me. And I went back and I thought about the sermon on blind spots a couple weeks ago. I thought about the woman or the message last week that we don't suffer alone, that we give our testimony and that we come alongside people. And a few weeks before that, what kind of love? Is it a selfish or a selfless love? Those are good sermons. They were for me. And when I say they were for me, I mean it was the Lord speaking to me. But we can sit in here and we can nod and go, yeah, that was a great sermon. We can sit in here and fall asleep and go, man, Pete bored me to death today. And one is not going to matter to the other one. It's not going to make any difference in the world whether we think it was a fantastic sermon or whether we think it was boring if it doesn't go with us. If it doesn't leave this place. Does that make sense? If we don't apply it to our life, it does no good. So I challenge you. I challenge you and I challenge myself to not just prepare to get up here and preach and hopefully we got this place packed out and we got people hearing the Word of God and we get an amen. Well, I'd like to hear some hallelujahs. I'd like to hear some amens once in a while. I think that'd be fantastic. But it does us no good if we hit those back doors and I'm bugging Mike. Mike, my pressure washer broke again. Did y'all see the Razorbacks lost yesterday? You know, and our, it's gone. It's gone. So I encourage you to get in the Word of God. I encourage you on Sundays, Wednesday nights, even when you're turning on the radio, listen to the Word of God. You pray and you say, God, may what I hear today, I apply to my life. As we were singing, I began to think about the seed and the different soils, and I began to think, and that's why I prayed when we began about, may this seed this morning land upon good soil in your life. May it land upon good soil in my life that we might see a harvest come from it. And I'm not talking about a harvest of blessings. I'm talking about a harvest of righteousness. Because when we apply God's Word to our life and we live by it, and He says, bad times are coming. Persecution's coming. Will you be ready to face the storm? Will you be ready to fly through the clouds? Will you be ready to drive on the interstate? Will you be ready to steer the ship in the midst of high seas? Because you know that you know that you know Jesus is there with you. You've seen the examples. You can claim the Word of God over your life. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. Lord, I pray that with my life and every life in here, that we would truly begin to apply the Scriptures to our life, that we would pursue righteousness, that it wouldn't be just an afterthought, that it wouldn't just be a moment that we're in distress that we cry out to You, but each and every day, in good and bad times, we would cry out to You, and each and every day that we would study Your Scripture and that we would apply the truth to our lives and that we might become strong. So that we can stand, that we might recognize when Satan is coming against us and trying to destroy us, and the times that we need to flee, the times that we need to run, and the times that we need to stand firm, Lord. Only by the power of Your Holy Spirit can we do any of this. And I pray by the power of Your Holy Spirit that each of our hearts was ready to receive this morning and that we would apply all the sermons, all the studying, all the devotionals, all the private time that we're praying and seeking You, that we would apply each of those moments to our everyday life. That we might truly become light in this dark world by Your power, by Your strength. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I know we have a, I don't know if you guys all know this, but we have several pilots here. And so my mind goes a lot of times to the pilots and their flying and everything. And we watched a special on John F. Kennedy Jr. And when he died in that plane crash, said that it was a new modern plane. I don't know if it's a jet or what exactly. And that he took off when the sun was going down and that he had no business flying as the sun was going down. He wasn't properly trained. And from what I understand from the investigation, they said that his plane had a override. If you were flying wrong, that it had a safety feature on it that would correct you and keep you from crashing. It was that advanced. And that he was flying full speed into the ocean because he didn't realize he was going the wrong direction. And the plane kept trying to correct, And that he must have turned that off to fly full speed into the ocean and cost him his life. Just makes me think, y'all, that there's people flying full speed in the wrong direction. And if they would just open up this word, if they would just get on their knees and seek the Lord, their life could be changed and they could get back on course. They could get headed in the right direction. But when we refuse to listen to the warnings, to the blind spots, when we refuse to apply this to our life, we're headed in the wrong direction and we're going to crash. So my prayer is that we would all truly, truly, truly begin to seek the Lord and His instruction, His Word. Hayden, is that offering plate back there still? Okay. Hayden's holding that offering plate if anybody would like to give to the family. Like I said, if you can't give, they need prayer. If you can give $1, $2, whatever, this is, I'm going to meet up with them in a minute, and it's going to go directly to that mom down there to help with food costs and whatever else. And so if you can give, Hayden will be back there with the offering plate. Y'all have a blessed day.